From the Premier League, it's the official Fantasy Premier League podcast.
And it's an especially packed show this week with two game weeks and two deadlines to prepare for over the next 7 days. We've mainstream moves like bringing in Mo to Maverick moves like clearing Bruno out. And we've got important news about January. It's the official Fantasy Premier League podcast from the Premier League. Hello there, FPL manager. What a big week awaits us. I'm James Richardson, and joining me today, we've got the brains behind Opta Joe, Duncan Alexander.
Hello, James.
Hello, Duncan. Author and football writer Daniel Story.
Hi, James.
And from the rival FPL Black Box podcast, Mark Southerns. Mark, you're here to rumble Anchorman style, I imagine.
Absolutely. Hello, James. Glad to be here again.
Brilliant. All right. Well, great to have you on, Mark. One of the doyens of the fantasy management game. Let's have your thoughts, perhaps to start off with, on game week 11, which certainly escalated quickly. I got to 71 points, bizarrely, with my hasty signings FC. Daniel, you weren't so fortunate with 66 points for your Lego Wanderers. Duncan picked up 60 for two Lionels. Mark, however, you are at a whopping 77 with Southern's comfort, mainly because you captained Kevin De Bruyne.
Yeah, he delivered. I mean, he had two good fixtures last couple of game weeks, and he delivered in both of them, which is sticking to the script, which is something new for this season, really, because we haven't really seen that much. So I'm very happy what Kevin's done there. And so I'm probably going to have to keep him now for over the Christmas period. What the plan was to move him out for Salah, but I don't think I can do that now. But overall, the game week was a week where all the big names delivered, really. Even Bruno, who was on the bench and still came on and didn't he break the key passes record? I think Duncan can probably confirm that in one half of football. Crazy. So, yeah, all the big names delivered. So there were some big scores. I got 77, but there were scores in the 80s and 90s all over the place. So I only just sneaked a green arrow.
All right. Big names may return, but the hugely transferred in Diogo Jota didn't. He was the most popular transfer in ahead of game week 11. What's the feeling now about where he fits into Klopp's strategy going forward? Is he going to be coming in off the bench as per last weekend?
Probably kind of depends on their European progress, I think. I think as we go into February, March, he's probably likely to start more Premier League games if Liverpool are involved in knockout football in Europe. But it does feel like still like 4-3. I know Klopp played that 4-2-4 once in the Premier League, but it does feel like 4-3, but with no drop-off between them. So I wouldn't be surprised if Liverpool become a very annoying fantasy team, because I think, you know, Sod's Law will dictate that the one you pick will be the one rested.
Unusually, Klopp last week said he rested Jota because it was against his former team. Normally managers are very happy for a player to face his former team. So I don't think it necessarily points to like a general rule. And as a man who captained Jota last weekend, that's good. I mean, I captained him the week before and that was good because not many people had. But yeah, that backfired.
What do you think we should do then, Jota owners, and we are Legion, about the player going forward? If we can afford to have him hanging around, that's fine, I suppose. But for a lot of us, we might have had him in a Salah cover. That's not going to wash for much longer. Is that right, Mark?
Yeah, I don't see him as cover for Salah. But I do see him, like Daniel says, I think that his arrival on the scene and the success that he's had for Klopp so far, I think has made Klopp more confident now he can give Mane and Salah rests as well as Firmino. So I think for FPL managers, as Dan says, it's a problem going forward. I don't think we're going to see Jota on the bench, you know, for four or five games in a row. I think he's going to be in the side and one of Mane and Salah rested. We saw Mane rested at Brighton. He wasn't too happy about it. And the other thing we saw at Brighton was Salah being taken off with a good chunk of the game left to go. And he wasn't happy about that either. But I think they're going to have to get used to that because Jota is going to have an impact on their minutes.
Right. Through this very, very congested period. Essentially, Jota becoming the new Phil Foden or the Liverpool equivalent, I guess. I mentioned the congested fixtures. We've got not only a set of games coming up Friday, Saturday, Sunday, but then also another one, Game Week 13, they're calling it, from Tuesday, across Tuesday, Wednesday and Thursday. So two deadlines for you to keep an eye on. We'll look at the fixtures and which ones most look like fertile ground for fantasy points. But from game week 11, also worth mentioning, players transferred out who ended up returning in quite hefty fashion. Principally, Wilfried Zaha with 18 points. He's now the fourth highest scoring midfielder in the game with 72 points. He was transferred out by, what, a third of a million last week. Kane also transferred out by a similar number, and he returned 12 points. Other big point scorers in game week 11 included Joel Matip, Salah himself with 14, and Kevin De Bruyne on that number as well. Son Sterling Benteke on 13, and Kane, as I say, on 12. Yeah, who's got Zaha still? Surely we all transferred him out on one of the many occasions in the past.
Yeah, I think he went out with my wild card, my hastily played wild card, which is a huge shame. I mean, he was out for the two fixtures before, so I feel like if you took him out before Saturday when you knew he was back, that's probably an odd move, because it suggests that you had him in when he was injured for the 2 weeks previously. So I kind of feel like you got your just desserts there. But yeah, he's one of those that I will regret taking out, I'm sure.
Okay. All right. But not to the extent you're going to bring him back in, Daniel.
Not until the next wild card. I don't think, no. He's too difficult. I will only make those big changes in midfield for premium players, I think.
Right. Okay. Anybody looking at Zaha? Or the good fixtures are gone for Palace, haven't they?
Yeah, that's the problem. They've got Spurs, Liverpool and Leicester, I think, three of the next five. Very difficult games. And they're all at home, but actually Palace haven't been that effective at home. It's on the road that Zaha's had more success. So I don't look at Zaha as an option just now. I mean, it mainly because, you know, we've got the premium midfielders and you've got Jack Grealish, who's got excellent fixtures coming up over the Christmas period. And you just can't afford to get Zaha in, alongside the likes of Fernandes and De Bruyne and Salah.
Grealish, who was transferred out by almost half a million managers last week because of the fact that Villa didn't have a fixture because of Newcastle's COVID-19 outbreak. But yeah, a lot of those managers might be thinking about getting him back in. One more thing, actually, before we get into looking at the actual games this weekend and next midweek. With the fixture pile-up, TM, does that alter your strategy in terms of your squad composition? Are you looking now to maybe get rid of enablers who'd sat on the bench and just basically freed up budget for other players for people who will be playing? Or do you just pile on regardless, Mark?
I think you've got to have reliable starters. I think you've got to look at the talismans of each team out, or the reliable defenders. I've got probably one player that I've got doubts about, and that's Brewster, who, you know, that Sheffield United front line is very difficult to predict. So he's the only one. And my other subs are normally Souček and Aylin, who are kind of mainstays in their respective teams. So I'm not concerned about them. So I think you've got to look to your bench. You're going to need, this is a time of year where you normally need to go even to your second sub. Normally you only need one effective sub that can come on if you lose a player. But I think over Christmas, I think you've got to expect to at least go to your second sub. So I'd advise in looking at your bench and trying to get someone like a Souček in to make sure you get extra cover, or Aylin or Dallas. They're very good players to get at this time because Leeds fixtures are very strong and they're good value.
Excellent.
Yeah, I've got all four of my subs failed to make a minute between them. And at the start of the season and after my wild card, I did try and bring in players who I thought might play: Tyreek Mitchell, Kilman at Wolves, Phil Foden, all on the bench, and none of them actually playing, which is... yeah, it's frustrating to try and do that and then still fail.
I've got the reverse, and I've had Souček all season. I reckon I'd have more points if I'd have played him in the starting 11 than sat him on the bench for most of the season. So,
well, now might be the time, Duncan, because they've got interesting fixtures coming up, West Ham. With that then, let's move on to the game week 12 and game week 13 matches that await us over the next week. Raw drama in the fantasy Premier League world as managers are confronted by two deadlines. One, this Friday at 6:30, 90 minutes before Leeds take the field against West Ham. And then, wham, next Tuesday at 4:30, Tuesday afternoon, 4:30. A lot of people are going to forget that. It's not a usual time to be having a FPL deadline. But anyway, yeah, my advice, as ever, get a team in place straight after this week's round, or straight after this week's deadline, the first game week deadline, and at least you'll have that covered. But anyway, let's have a look at the games coming up. First of all, Duncan, I'm sure all football fans will be looking forward to the Manchester Derby this Saturday afternoon. Does it have big relevance on our fantasy plans, though?
Well, I think most people will have a lot of players from, or some players from these teams. You know, you've probably got Bruno or KDB. So, and the question always is, in a big game, are they gonna turn up? Now, Bruno's been pretty consistent. De Bruyne, possibly less so this season. But, you know, for me, Sterling's the concern if you've got him, because he's never scored against Manchester United in the Premier League. It's his worst kind of blank run against any team. We're once again at that point where we don't know which Manchester United we're going to get. They crashed out of the Champions League in midweek, so that on the bounce back ability scale suggests that they're going to win this game. But then, you know, historically in the last sort of five, 6 years, they've struggled in the home derby against City compared to the one at the Etihad. So right, it's a very unpredictable game. And yeah, I wouldn't be bringing in players from these teams for this game. But if you've got them, I think Bruno's probably the more reliable one.
Well, I don't know about that, because drop some bombshell, some Bruno bombshells on us, Mark Southerns. You're getting rid.
I have to get rid of one of Bruno or KDB for this game week to get Salah in. And for me, if you look back at De Bruyne last season against the Big Six, I think he played 9 games against the Big Six. He got 6 goals and 3 assists in those games. So he really did perform in the big matches last season. So I just look at this one and think, although Bruno is very consistent, you know, De Bruyne's coming in off 2 double-figure returns. And I just think City looks stronger. I mean, United obviously could be affected by the result in midweek. And City generally in defence look a lot more resolute. So I think they're going to be able to, you know, fend off United's attack. So, and I just don't think the opposite is true of United. I think City will have too much for them, and De Bruyne will be the key man again. So I'm going to keep De Bruyne, and it'll be Bruno making way, I think. He'll come back very quickly into my team, but I think for this game week he's going to go.
What, he'll come back, what, for game week 13, midweek?
Possibly even then, yeah. Depending on whether I feel he plays against Sheffield United in game week 13, which isn't. Sure.
Because, of course, he was on the bench at West Ham last game week.
Mm.
The really left field option with this game is, and we all know that football runs on narrative, and the big narrative this week is Paul Pogba. And he's only owned by 1% of managers. And given that he came on and played well for United, you know, Solskjaer might say, right, you go and prove that you're still a Manchester United player. And obviously he's had some success against City in the past. He scored 2 goals when they came from 2-0 down to beat them. So, I mean, it's a gamble, but, you know, if you want to gain a march on people, it might be worth a risk.
Interesting. He's not as expensive as you might think. He's 7.7. Mm. Mark, Daniel?
It's too unreliable, isn't he? He's such an unpredictable player, and you don't want that in your FBL team. You never know what you're going to get. He's not on pens right anymore. But I think Duncan's right. It's a big stage, and he's the kind of player who will react to that.
I think
okay.
I like Pogba in a fantasy team when Bruno isn't playing. He obviously has to play slightly deeper when Bruno plays, and I definitely think Bruno will play against City. So maybe the midweek game's a good one to get Pogba in, but not this one for me.
Okay, and what do you think about Mark's bold plan to ditch one of the most popular players in the game, Bruno Fernandes, Daniel?
I think he is right to be concerned about Bruno being rested in midweek. And if that is the case, and there is a sizable logic to getting him out before arguably, you know, their most difficult home game of the season. So, yeah, I think there's logic. I don't have Bruno and haven't all season, which is, probably to my detriment. But, yeah, I would be considering the same.
OK, now, Mark, your logic for doing this is that you must have Mohamed Salah. But equally, isn't Salah a bit of a rotation risk? You've got Fulham coming up this weekend and then Spurs for Liverpool.
Yeah, he is. I think the team sheet in Europe in the dead rubber game is going to be crucial to tell us a bit more information about what Klopp's going to select for Fulham visit. But I don't think he can take Fulham lightly anymore. I think about a month ago, he could have considered resting Mane and Salah. But I think both will start. I expect Jota to start as well. I think the minutes will be managed. I think, you know, if the Liverpool get in a situation where they feel they can manage the game out, then I think one of Mane or Salah or both will depart. So I don't think we'll get more than 70 minutes out of both of those players. But that's enough for Salah to do a lot of damage. And I think the concern for me is he'll be a very popular captain. And all season, that's what I've done. I've looked ahead and predicted who the popular captains are and made sure that I own them so that the damage to my rank is not considerable should they deliver. So it's all about the risk of not having him for me.
Right. Okay. Are there any City assets that you would consider bringing in? If you don't have Kevin De Bruyne, would you make him a must-have for this game? Or Any other players? I think a lot of us might have been burnt with João Cancelo at the back, and equally Kyle Walker, who then got rested last weekend. Is there anyone you consider reliable now in City?
I'm looking the other way. I've got Sterling and Phil Foden. And Foden seems to be one of those nightmare players that when he isn't in my squad starts and when he is in my squad doesn't. So I'm considering, it's just whether I take out Foden because I don't think he plays, or take out Sterling because he's huge, huge premium price, and bring in another.
What should we talk about next? You want to talk about Leicester, who've got two home games, excitingly enough, against Brighton and then Everton midweek. Is that good news for Jamie Vardy owners, given that he does all his scoring away from home? And are there other Leicester assets that you're looking to bring in ahead of those two games?
I'm considering, if I make two changes, considering bringing in Harvey Barnes, who didn't play against Sheffield United. I think he probably plays both games. Leicester, against teams that sit deeper, tend to need someone, rather than just playing on the counter, need someone that can kind of unpick the lock. And I think that probably is Barnes for Brendan Rodgers. So, yeah, I think 6.9 million, he's a pretty good price.
Where do you stand on Jamie Vardy? Is he worth keeping him?
I think if I had him, I'd probably consider making him captain, but I won't be bringing him in.
Right.
He's still in great form, but he's clearly been better away from home. And Leicester have struggled at home recently. You know, they lost the 2-0 defeat to Fulham is one of the most surprising results of this Premier League season, I think. So it just feels like you can't fully trust them at the King Power at the moment.
I manufacture corner flags, so I'm pro Vardy from that front. But I think the option possibly is Ayoze Perez, because he's been out of the team for most of the season. Obviously came in last weekend at Sheffield United and scored. He's owned by less than 1% of players at the moment. So, you know,
Are you one of that less than 1%, Duncan, or will you be by the weekend?
I've got to replace Ziyech, so I might bring in Perez, because as the two home games, I feel like he's going to, have a good run.
Well, let's talk about Everton-Chelsea then, because as you mentioned, Ziyech is now out for a bit. Christian Pulisic is back, 8.2 million, and scored last weekend. He's only had 5 appearances this season due to injury, but he was so effective last season. Everton in a really rough run of form. Any thoughts on Everton-Chelsea and assets to acquire and moves to make?
Well, Kurt Zouma's been very strong. He's got more goals on his own than any Arsenal player this season, so that's positive. And I think Giroud's the big one, I think. He scored in his last 6 Premier League starts. He can equal, long-standing Premier League fans might remember, Mark Steen in the very early days of the Premier League, scored in 7 consecutive games for Chelsea. And Giroud can match that if he scores.
Well, if he gets consecutive Premier League games, I guess that would be the question.
Well, the point is that he only came on briefly for a cameo in the Champions League, so that would suggest that he's being rested for the weekend. So I would suggest that he is going to play, and he's a pretty good option.
Okay, how much does he cost us, Duncan?
He's 6'7", James. And I say that because I'm looking at him as well, because I'm possibly getting rid of Calvert-Lewin to free up some cash. And I was looking at Bamford. If I could be sure that Giroud was going to play both in game week 12 at Everton and in 13 at Wolves, then I'd get Giroud. But I just don't know if Lampard will play Giroud. I think he'll bring Abraham in at Wolves. He got the hat-trick there last season. And for the sake of rotation, I think Giroud won't get 2 starts.
Right. Now, if you, as a result, don't go for Giroud, would you be considering, for a similar price, slightly less, Callum Wilson, who's Newcastle, have West Brom at home and then Leeds away, Leeds who are quite porous defensively?
He's a great asset in that when he is fit, he will start every game for Newcastle. And we know he will have the most shots. We know he will have the most touches in the opposition box. So, yeah, I think he's a really good, reliable third striker in a three striker formation. He's not cheap, but I think for the amount of shots he has and chances he gets, he's pretty good value.
What is he, 6.6?
Yeah, he's 6.6. I have to say, for the money, I would rather go for Patrick Bamford at 0.5 million pound less than Wilson. I think he is a player who will start both of Leeds' next two games almost certainly, and with them having home fixtures, I think Bamford is the starter.
Leeds have got West Ham at home and then Newcastle at home as well. Well, that was kind of an answer to your point about Giroud, Mark Southerns. But what about Christian Pulisic? Are people thinking it's time to get him into your team?
Yeah, I love him as a player. I had him at the start of the season, but I just don't see it. And we need to see him put back-to-back games together, back-to-back starts to prove his fitness. And the Christmas period is, you know, a good time to do that because the games come thick and fast. So let's see how he comes out of this period. But I still worry about the rotation there because I don't know where Werner ends up because Giroud's being successful in the central role now. There's Abraham there. So it's not a given that Werner's going to move from the left to go up front. I guess with Ziyech out, is he going to go on to the right? That's what happened temporarily in that weekend. So I want to see what Chelsea, how they shape up, what Lampard does with Ziyech out and how he fits Pulisic, Werner and Giroud into his team. And Havertz is a factor in there as well, I guess.
Mm, okay. Other fixtures that you might want to consider, Saints taking on Sheffield United at home. They then got Arsenal away. Danny Ings now back and scoring last weekend. Is he still in the wait-and-see category or anyone looking to leap on Danny Ings?
I think he's still just in the wait-and-see category. I think if Southampton had played better against Brighton in the first half and Moussa Dzeneko hadn't had a yellow card, then Danny Ings might not have come on so quickly. He's clearly not wasn't fit to start that game. And maybe the kind of gentler-ish home fixture means that he might start on the bench again. I just think leave it a couple of games for Danny Ings because the big thing in his career has been how he recovers from injury and whether he then sustains little, you know, niggly injuries thereafter. And I think we have to consider that.
Okay. In which case, shall we round off our look at the weekend's games with a word or two on Palace against Spurs? And probably those two words will be Son and Kane. Because I'm sure we've all got at least one. Who's got both of them? Duncan?
Yes,
yeah.
I do.
Mark?
Just Kane for me.
Daniel?
Same as that, just Kane here.
Can you live with a weekend with just one of this pair? I've only got Son and I'm not sure about... I've seen this notion that because of the incredibly high ownership of both of these players, that even if you have one, you're essentially still missing out on loads of points by not having both. And they are so regularly on the, you know, on the score sheet for Spurs, and they are pretty much guaranteed starters, that do we have to look at both of them as must-haves?
As a package.
Yes.
With Son, I'm just waiting for it to tail off slightly. You know, he scored 10 goals, I think, from 21 shots in the Premier League, including block shots. I mean, that is unsustainable. He's in phenomenal form, but that is unsustainable.
It?
Yeah, it is unsustainable. As you well know, Duncan, it is unsustainable. So I'm not going to rush out. I'm happy with one of them. I'm not going to rush out and get the second.
I mean, the reason that point does make sense, the one you said, James, is that the problem is that they are assisting each other so much. You know, they've already combined for 11 goals this season. The record in a single Premier League season is 13 between Alan Shearer and Chris Sutton, the FPL dream combo of 1994-95. But it can't go on, but maybe it will. So I'm going to stick with both of them. Because I trust.
Yeah, I can imagine. So Palace away, and then next up for Spurs,
Liverpool away. And that's the concern, because Mourinho is almost certainly going to reboot the Chelsea away blueprint for that game. So you could imagine both Son and Kane not getting very much of the ball / any chances in that match. So that's the concern, really. So I'm going to leave them in for the weekend and then maybe revisit on Monday.
Okay, so kind of distilling all this down, in terms of the most owned players, you're probably going to be okay with one of the Spurs pair. Kevin De Bruyne, our opinions vary. Salah, Mark says, is a must-have for this weekend and probably next midweek as well, and he's going to get rid of Bruno to bring him in. Duncan and Daniel, you don't have Mo Salah. Are you going to make a move as well for him?
No, I'm not, just because I already have Sadio Mane and there are enough... There is enough surgery needed on my squad that replacing one premium Liverpool asset for another won't be the answer, I don't think.
Why would you have Sadio Mane and not Mo Salah?
Yeah, it's what the fans are asking, James. Don't worry about that.
But seriously, for a 4-point hit, it's worth it. Just change him.
I'll consider it.
What do you think, Mark? It's true, isn't it? For a 4-point hit, get Salah in for Mane.
I don't know if I'd do that. I mean, I got the penalties, of course, are in Salah's favour, right? And it's the ownership as well. I mean, so what you've got to think is that, you know, if Salah does deliver, it's not just the points you're losing, it's the fact that everyone around you is getting those points. So that's what I'm worried about. I don't think I'd make that move. If I had Mane, I'd stick with it, I think. I wouldn't do it for a points hit.
Yeah, just to back up Daniel a bit more, which is not something I enjoy doing, but we know that 80% of Mane's Premier League goals have come within 2 miles of the coast. And technically, Craven Cottage is by the coast because the Thames is tidal all the way to Teddington. So he could do something good there, I think.
Well, points guaranteed then. It's booked in, isn't it?
and then at home, of course, on Merseyside to Spurs midweek. All right. Well, a little bit of controversy there. Next up then, let's get on to the midweek games. All right, Tuesday, Wednesday and Thursday. Tuesday, you've got Wolves against Chelsea and Man City against West Brom. Wednesday, it's Arsenal, Saints, Leeds, Newcastle, Leicester, Everton, Fulham, Brighton, Liverpool, Spurs and West Ham Palace. And then on Thursday, Villa, Burnley, Sheffield United, Man United. Crikey. I guess a lot of our possible moves before the 4:30 Tuesday deadline are going to be conditioned by what happens over this weekend. But are there things that you're already looking at in terms of the midweek round, Daniel?
Yeah, I think the changes you make this weekend have to be with both game weeks in mind. I mentioned Patrick Bamford and Leicester because I think they have pretty good fixtures over the next 2 weeks. And as I say, there's enough surgery I want to do in my squad that I don't want to be having to make a change just with this weekend in mind. The other danger of doing that is that the player you bring in is rested for the first game and suddenly you feel like you've wasted your transfer.
One slight trend to possibly bear in mind is that games on Tuesdays and Wednesdays in Premier League history average lower goals than other matches. A lot of people think that midweek games equals, you know, tons of goals, but not necessarily. So, you know, might be something to bear in mind when you're tweaking your squad.
Get in defenders and goalkeepers.
Captain your goalkeeper as, you know, my special move.
Didn't you do that last week, Duncan, and what happened as a result?
No, I did it early in the season with Martinez and he got more points than Salah. So, yeah, it worked.
Okay. Any specific thoughts you're thinking then about those midweek fixtures, Duncan or Mark?
I think it's a chance. There's going to be an opportunity to take some risks with a differential or two. I mean, I look at it and think I've got a wild card to play in a few weeks' time, so I can afford to do something a little bit different in some positions. So I think we've got to listen to the press conferences that come out after the weekend to see whether Pep or Klopp or Solskjaer are going to hint at the fact that they're going to rotate and rest a few players. We talked about Giroud, for example. If Lampard suggests that Abraham's going to play, then suddenly at Wolves, where he got a hat-trick last season, he's going to be someone you could maybe take a chance on. Equally, I think we mentioned Pogba. You know, if Fernandes doesn't play at Sheffield United because United have got Leeds 3 days later, then Pogba becomes a thing. So I think this could be a chance to just take a risk or two, particularly if you've got your wild card to come in a few weeks.
How effective do you find those pre-match press conferences in terms of guiding yeah, who's likely to play?
Well, they vary, don't they? I mean, last week, Pep told us Mahrez was going to start. So if he does a similar thing, if he says, for example, well, Torres is going to play up front, then suddenly Torres is an option at home in that against West Brom, who conceded a lot of goals. So I'm hoping we get something like that. And, you know, it gives us an option of taking a risk.
Talking of differential picks, one very left-field option I am considering is Eddie Nketiah at Arsenal. He's 5.5 million. He's owned by 0.6% of people. They've got two home games against Burnley and Southampton. And I just wonder after that kind of debacle last week and Arsenal's goal scoring woes, whether Arteta might give Nketiah a go. He had a kind of run in the team earlier in the season and at the end of last season. And I mean, he can't be as bad as Lacazette is at the moment. So I just think that might be an interesting option.
Should also mention, having consulted my FDR, my fixture difficulty rating chart available at fantasy.premierleague.com, the top of the table for ease of fixtures in the next 6 weeks, or next six game weeks at least, are Burnley. Strokes chin. Surveys Clara options. Notices nobody else is joining him in that. Backs off. Reconsiders Burnley options. There's no. They have a bunch of players who generally at this point of the season are killing me because somebody else has got them in cheap, and like, I don't know, Chris Woods or Ashley Barnes, that they're consistently getting the points in. With Pope back for the Clarets, with things beginning to maybe get back on track under Sean Dyche, is this me imagining things, or could Burnley become an option? Just say no if you prefer.
I think they are in a false position. If you look at a lot of their defence is a lot better this season than their position would suggest, but they're still not really creating that many good chances. So I think if you want to bring in some Burnley defenders or Pope, I think that's reasonable, but I wouldn't splash out on Burnley attackers right now.
No, which you mentioned Ashley Barnes. He's nearly clicked over to 13 months since his last Premier League goal, which is... which says something. I think Dwight McNeil's the Burnley attacking asset that always gets mentioned, and understandably so. He is their key chance creator. But that aside, I won't be rushing. And I probably won't rush for him either. So he's all yours.
Oh, quick mention before we get on to the transfers you're actually going to make this week and who gets the captain's armband. Quick mention for game week 19, which is looking interesting because, Mark Southerns?
There's a possible, well, there will be double game weeks there. We've got one already. We know that West Ham and West Brom will play twice in that game week. The game week 18 fixtures moved to game week 19, and there's going to be more because we know there's only going to be five fixtures in game week 18, and an extra five will probably move to game week 19. So this is why a lot of people have kept their wild card back, hoping that those fixtures will be revealed, and then you can use your wild card to prepare for that. So the tactic will ball you free hit in game week 18 when there's only five fixtures, and then you have double game week players in your squad ready for game week 19, and then you probably bench boost or maybe triple captain in that game week.
So game week 18 is a while away, just over a month, in fact. Starting on Tuesday, the 12th of January, with the game week 19 double set of fixtures starting on Saturday, the 16th. But yeah, that's not going to influence your transfers just yet, but it's one to keep in mind.
Yeah, I'm not going to think about it yet. I mean, those who don't have a wild card should monitor those fixtures as they move over, because obviously all your transfers leading up to that should have those double game weeks in mind, because otherwise you're going to be at a big disadvantage to those who do have their wild card.
Right, and you're actually thinking to deploy the free hit early then on that January the 12th game week 18.
Yeah, but there'll only be 10 teams in action on that game week, so there'd be limited fixtures, so everyone's team's going to be decimated, you presume, depending on who's left to play. So that's the obvious week to play the free hit. Then you can tailor your squad to the teams that are playing, and I don't think there's going to be a better opportunity to play it than that.
Interesting. All right, circle that one in your diaries. Game week 18, January the 12th. Very nice. After this, let's hear about your transfers and who gets to wear the armband. Okay, deadlines for this game week and the one after. Friday the 11th at 6:30 UK time for game week 12, then game week 13 Tuesday afternoon at 4:30. Oof, crikey. What moves are you making for this weekend? I won't ask you about next midweek unless you know already. I imagine that's dependent on who does what, etc. But Duncan, what are you actually going to do this game week?
I need to replace Cavani, which I'm going to do with Giroud, I think. And then I've got another transfer. And I'm either going to captain Fernandes, or Mark sort of convinced me now that, you know, to get rid of him and bring in Salah. So maybe that could be the way to go. So Fernandes is either going to be captain or just out of the squad. That's the That's the vagaries of modern FPL, isn't it?
It is. We'll talk more about captain's options in a second. But Daniel?
My two non-saved transfers so far are Calvert-Lewin and Ademola Lookman out for Diogo Jota and Patrick Bamford, because I've got a little bit of money left in the bank.
So you're responding to Jota being on the bench with bringing him in?
Well, to me, that's the logical step. If he's already had his rest, then maybe he starts the next two. It doesn't always work out like that. And then, as Mark said, we want to see the team on Wednesday night first. But he's obviously a lot less money than the other. So
yeah, it would mean half the price.
Yeah, I'd have Mane and Jota in the team. So at least one of them would start. Hedge your bets.
Okay. The logic being with Wednesday's team sheet, what you look out for is if Jota starts, you think he's going to be rested at the weekend, yes?
Or the following Wednesday, yeah.
Okay, all right. I myself, much like you, have two transfers that have been saved yet, which are Jota to Salah, and to finance that, Vardy to Callum Wilson, because I've already got Bamford and Calvert-Lewin. But we shall see about that. Mark, what about you?
Well, I'm uncomfortable with my transfers. Fernandes to Salah and Calvert-Lewin to Bamford is what I'm looking at. Calvert-Lewin, 11 goals in 11 games. I am questioning why I'm getting rid, but I need the cash to do Fernandes to Salah. I was going to do De Bruyne to Salah, and I got the money for that, but I just want to keep De Bruyne because obviously I think he'll do better against United, and he's got a good fixture to follow against West Brom, which he may or may not start in. And I just need the cash to, so I'm able to swap that heavy hitter slot over the next three or four game weeks. So I plan to get Salah in this week, then hope that there's going to be some team news that suggests that maybe Sterling or Mahrez will definitely start against West Brom in midweek and then move Salah out to one of them and double up on City maybe. So I'm selling Calvert-Lewin for Bamford on the basis that I think Bamford will outscore Calvert-Lewin over the next four games, but it's going to be a tight call that.
It's a big shout, isn't it? 11 goals in 11 game weeks. All right. Captain's armband. Duncan, you told us that Bruno, if he's still in your team, will wear the armband. But if you ditch him ruthlessly, who would it go to?
That would go to Salah, who would replace him.
Yeah. Makes sense. Daniel?
Probably a boring selection of Kane at Palace, I think, for me.
Yeah. Okay. And Mark?
Well, Salah against Fulham, I think, unless Salah's on the team sheet in Europe. And then in midweek, I think it'll be De Bruyne or another City player if I think De Bruyne's a risk to be rested.
Crikey. Well, there you go, FPL manager. Much to be considered there. Keep an eye, if you listen to this before Wednesday night's Champions League action, on those team sheets, particularly, of course, the Liverpool one. And best of luck with these two rounds of action. Friday the 11th. 18:30 UK time, get your team sheets done by, your selections done by, and then next Tuesday, 4:30 in the afternoon. Of course, there's the FPL show over at fantasy.premierleague.com with more FPL content to help you shape your team ahead of Friday evening at 6:30. Best of luck to you, everybody. Many thanks to Duncan, Daniel, and Mark for being with us today. We'll be back next Wednesday, right in the thick of game week 13. In a very real sense. So do hope you'll join us for that. For now, from all of us here, it's good luck and goodbye.